staff stood back, looking gorgeous and dressed like we were about to go on the greatest date in the world. It always meant so much to me that she made an effort to look great, no matter how early or late my flights came in. This last trip alone down the magical escalator was no exception. Savannah and Everly were waiting at the bottom for me. Ev sprinted over to me and jumped into my arms. Then Savannah came and kissed me and hugged me, and oh man, Christmas might have been less than 2 weeks away, but this was better than every Christmas morning rolled into one. Except for a brief time when we spent Christmas with our respective families, we were never going to be apart for an extended period of time ever again. I felt so relieved. Later, at Everly's birthday party, I felt different than I had on my other trips to California or when they came to see me in Alabama. Maybe it was just knowing that I was going to move out there permanently, but standing next to Savannah while Everly blew out the candles on her cake, I felt such a huge confirmation in my spirit that this was how I wanted life to always be. I belonged here, and we belonged together. I could not wait to be Savannah's husband and a dad to Everly.
A few weeks before Cole flew out for Everly's birthday, he surprised me with an amazing gift. The two of us were talking on the phone and Cole said, "Guess what?" "What?" I asked. "My family's going on this awesome cruise to the Bahamas for Christmas," he said. "That's awesome," I said. "Have fun. I wish I could go." "I know," Cole said. "I wish you could go too." Then he paused and said, "Yeah, that would be really awesome if you could go with us." "I would love to do that," I said. "It'd be so fun." Then he said, "What if we just book your room right now?" I thought he was joking, so I said, "Hey, I would totally do that." "Okay, let's do it," Cole said. That's when it hit me that he was actually serious. "What are the dates?" I asked. We then talked about all the details for their trip. He was really going to do this for me. I ran downstairs and asked my mom if she'd keep Everly for 5 days while I was gone. Asking her to keep her granddaughter is like asking Cole if he wants waffles and bacon in the morning. The answer is always yes. So when I told her about the cruise with Cole's family, she said, "Of course." I ran back upstairs and texted Cole. "Hey, if we want to make this work, I have a babysitter." He said, "Are you kidding? Hang on a second and let me call to see if they have rooms available." I sat there on my bed, staring at my phone, so excited, waiting for Cole to text me. Finally, he did. He'd booked a room for me and my flight, everything, and refused to let me pay for any of it. "Merry Christmas," he said. When Cole went home after Everly's birthday party, I got to fly back east with him for the first time. We met his family in Alabama, then all of us loaded into a van for the 6 or 7 hour drive down to Port Canaveral. Once we stepped on board the cruise ship, everything felt like a fairy tale honeymoon, except we stayed in separate cabins. Since Everly wasn't there, I got to spend a lot of undistracted time with Cole and with his family, which included some of his cousins and grandparents. I felt very official because everyone knew that we were probably going to get married. I mean, Cole had never brought a girl around, and now he had me on this dream vacation with his entire family. Everyone knew what that meant. At least, I hope this meant what I thought it meant. Cole had hinted that he was going to propose, and I kept waiting for him to finally do it, but he never did. It became a kind of game we played with each other. When will Cole propose? He liked the game a lot more than I did. Aside from constantly wondering if Cole was going to pop the question, the cruise itself was so relaxing. We laid by the pool aboard the ship and ate tons of incredible food. Every day, Cole amazed me by how much of a gentleman he is. He'd ask if I wanted something to drink, or if I was hungry, or if I needed anything. He always put me first, which was something I had never experienced with any other guy, at least not consistently. At night, we went out dancing with his mom and dad. They were as much fun and as crazy as Cole. I can see where he gets it. One night we all sang karaoke, which was just hilarious. Cole's mom and I got up there and sang together really loud, and we danced until we laughed so much we could hardly sing. The two of us really bonded on this trip. As much fun as I had, it was hard being away from Everly for so long. I had come out to Alabama without her when Cole and I first started dating, but I was never away for more than 2 or 3 days. This was a 4-night cruise, which, when you add in a couple of days for travel before and one after, made for a really long time away from my little girl. Some days I missed her so much that I found it hard to enjoy myself. Cole was so sweet. He cheered me up and reassured me that Ev was having a better time with her Gigi than she'd have on the boat with us. Everly had just turned 4, so a trip like this didn't make much sense for her. She couldn't swim, and with pools all over the cruise ship, we didn't want to worry about her possibly falling in one. The time Cole and I had alone together was so special because we rarely had any time for just us without Ev or anyone else around. I knew his family was on the cruise too, but the ship was huge. It was easy for us to get away from everyone. This was the longest we had been consistently with each other. I loved it. I loved him. I could not wait to start a life together.
The cruise to the Bahamas turned out to be the perfect way to wrap up the long-distance part of our relationship. We never spent that much time together, either in the number of days or the number of hours in the days that we were actually together. Never once did we get short with each other or fight. Honestly, we just could not get enough of each other. It was a pleasant surprise to find out how much cruise ships have to offer. For instance, you can eat 24/7 if you want, and we kind of wanted to. One of the things I love about Savannah is she's this tiny, girly girl, but she is not afraid to be herself around me. And this girl can eat. I couldn't believe how much food we both put away on this trip. Between me and my brothers, I am surprised the ship didn't run out of food. When we docked in the Bahamas, I rented scooters for Sav and me to ride around the island. There was some kind of poetry in that. A scooter had led me to meet Savannah the summer before, and now, here we were riding scooters together in the gorgeous Bahamas. It was like a movie. The water and the sky were so blue. We cruised until we found a private beach. We hung out at the beach for a while, then cruised some more until we found another cool beach to stop at. I wish we could have stayed longer. But with a cruise, you go out on these excursions and have some fun, but then you have to go back to the ship before it sails away. I had so much fun on the ship, especially watching Savannah and my mom dancing and doing karaoke together. By the time the cruise was over, my mom and Sav were so close that if I had decided to break up with her, which I never would have done, my mom might have disowned me. After the cruise, Savannah wasn't just my girlfriend. She was family. Chapter 17. Preparing for the Move. Before I talk about moving to California and what it was like to finally be close to Savannah all the time, I need to back up a little bit. A couple of weeks before Savannah flew up for the cruise, I had some business to take care of, and I didn't have much time to get it done. The first thing I had to do was talk to my mom and dad about something very important. They expected the conversation, but I don't know that they were fully prepared for it. Everything had happened so fast, how could they have been? I sat down with my parents and said to them, "Mom, Dad, I think I'm going to ask Savannah to marry me." I'd already told them that I planned to move to California after Christmas and New Year's. My parents had to expect this because neither had any kind of big reaction. My mom didn't even cry, which sort of surprised me. For most of my growing up years, my dad was the one who cried, not my mom. But as I got older, she became more emotional. I don't remember if it was my mom or my dad or maybe both of them who said, "You know, this is a lifelong commitment. Marriage is forever." "I know," I said. "I can't think of anyone better to spend the rest of my life with than Savannah." "Are you sure you're ready to be a dad?" "It's a lot different being a parent 24/7 than a long-distance dad." "Are you prepared for the difficulties that can possibly come from being a stepdad?" they asked. "I love Everly. I already think of her as my own. I can't wait to be a full-time father to her," I said. "You understand the fact that her biological father is still in the picture will make things more complicated. He's always going to be a part of that little girl's life." "I know," I said. I reassured them that I had thought through all of this, and I had prayed long and hard about it. "Savannah is the one I cannot live without," I told them. I knew it was a package deal. If I loved and wanted to marry Savannah, I had to love and want to be the dad to Everly. Honestly, I could not imagine my life without Ev either. My parents and I talked for a little while longer. They gave me their blessing, which I appreciated. I wanted them to be as excited as I was about this. I wasn't, however, asking their permission. No disrespect, Mom and Dad, but I didn't feel like I needed to ask for that. I knew they trusted my judgment. All my life I'd listened to them, and now I was living out everything they'd instilled in me. They also knew how seriously I took dating and marriage. I'd never before brought a girl around, so they knew that when I finally did introduce them to Savannah, that I'd already thought she might be the one. One of my brothers dates a different girl every other week. If he'd come home to my parents and told them he wanted to marry a girl he'd only known for a few months, they would have had lots of questions about why this girl and not one of the 20 others he dated that year. With me, it was different. My parents couldn't say I was too young since they were about my age when they got married. Their marriage worked out pretty well. I knew Savannah's and mine would too. After I talked to my parents, I made a phone call to Savannah's dad. You can watch the actual call in our engagement video. Even though it appears I called him the day before I proposed, I actually called him before I moved out there. Her parents' divorce made Savannah's relationship with her dad complicated. But I still wanted his blessing before I went forward. I said, "Savannah and I have been dating a while, and we both feel like we're meant for each other. I love her with my whole heart, and I'll always take care of her. I wanted to ask if it's okay if I marry Savannah." "I would love for you to marry Savannah," her dad said. I really didn't doubt Savannah's dad would give me his blessing, but I was very happy when he gave it. I also talked to her mom, and she gave me her blessing as well. Now, I just had one more thing to do before I moved, and this one did make my mom cry. She went with me to pick out Savannah's engagement ring. Engagement rings cost a lot less in Alabama than they do in California, which was one of the reasons why I wanted to buy one before I moved. I also wanted to take my mom with me because I knew this could be a special moment for us. My mom and dad had 5 boys before my little sister was born. Over the years, my mom put up with a lot. Living in a testosterone-filled house, there wasn't much of what you would call girly stuff happening. The house was all about sports and video games and guy stuff. Picking out an engagement ring with me was something I knew my mom would enjoy. We went to Douglas Brothers Jewelers in Dothan, Alabama. I already had a specific ring in mind. Savannah talked a lot about how much she loved her best friend's engagement ring. I think that was her way of telling me which ring to get. I texted her best friend's fiance and asked him about the ring style and the size of the diamond and things like that. I'd never gone shopping for a diamond ring before. He answered all my questions and also texted me a picture of the ring. That gave me a pretty good idea of what to look for. My mom and I went into Douglas Brothers prepared to be there a while. I took one look at the first ring they showed me, and I knew I'd found what I was looking for. My mom loved it too. I texted a photo of it to Savannah's mom and sister to get their thumbs up as well. When it comes to picking out an engagement ring for the love of your life, you have to get her mom's and sister's advice because no one knows her style better. They both love the ring. I knew I had a winner. The ring cost more than I wanted to pay, so the store owner and I started negotiating. Half an hour later, I walked out with the perfect ring for the perfect girl at the perfect price. Now, I just had to plan the perfect proposal. I knew I was not going to propose until sometime after I moved out to California. I also didn't want to blurt out, "Will you marry me?" I wanted to create an incredible and memorable moment and wanted to have all of our family come and enjoy the moment with us. Good thing I saved money on the ring. But also, thanks to the social media income, I was able to fly my family out to California. However, I still had to get one more person's permission, and I couldn't ask for it until I moved out to California. I also couldn't do it until right before I asked Savannah to marry me, because 4-year-olds aren't very good at keeping secrets. Savannah and I had one more big event planned before I moved. The Atlanta Passion Conference took place in the Georgia Dome for 3 days starting January 1st. She agreed to fly out and go to the conference with me. A lot of my friends were going to be there too. I couldn't think of a better transition into the next part of our lives.
Chapter 18. Transitions. As I stood in the middle of 50,000 college-age people worshiping God at the Passion Conference in the Georgia Dome in Atlanta, I found myself in awe of God. 6 months earlier, I never dreamed I'd be in a place like this. Standing next to a godly guy who loves God even more than he loves me, and he loves me a lot. How I got here looked like a string of impossible coincidences, but really it was the hand of God at work. God is just so amazing. As I closed my eyes and worshiped him at the Passion Conference in January 2017, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is real. I'd seen him in action. Standing there with all these people, all of us singing to him, I felt so close to him. Closer than I had ever felt before. He is so good and so amazing and so patient. I grew up in church. I trusted him as my savior when I was younger, but I ran away. God used Cole to bring me back. Before I met Cole, I had a broken notion of what God is. I knew that he's our father, and even though I felt my own father loved me, he was imperfect in the way he loved our family. The wounds from that affected how I perceived my heavenly father. Cole helped me see the truth about how God loves me. Once I started trusting God again, he did all this amazing stuff in my life. If motion marked the beginning of our long-distance relationship, the Passion Conference was the beginning of our permanent time together. I can't think of a better way to start. Right after the cruise, I flew back to California, where Everly and I celebrated Christmas with my family while Cole stayed in Alabama with his family. A few days later, Ev and I flew out to Alabama for Passion, except Ev didn't come to Atlanta for the conference with us. Rather than have her stay in California with my mom, I brought her to Cole's parents, and they kept her for 3 days. Just a few months before, I'd wondered if Cole's parents would accept Ev. And now, even though Cole and I weren't yet married, his mom and dad had become family to her. She called Cole's mom Cece, since she called my mom Gigi. Cole's dad became Popcorn because he always made popcorn for her. He declared that all future grandchildren were also going to call him Popcorn. That told me how he felt about Everly. She wasn't just my child. In their hearts, she was now Cole's parents' granddaughter.
When I used to think about getting married someday, I had a list in my head of what I wanted in a future wife. All single people do that. Obviously, I was looking for a soulmate and a best friend. I wanted to find someone easy to talk with and someone with the same kind of sense of humor as I have. I hoped to find someone who made me lose track of everything else in the world when we spent time together. But most of all, I wanted to find a woman who desired God, someone with a burning passion for him. Passion for God is so different from claiming to be a Christian. I grew up going to churches where people called themselves Christians, but their worship was dry and mechanical. I wanted more of God. I wanted to lose myself in his presence, enjoy him, and pursue him. When I pictured myself married someday, I wanted to be with someone on the same page with me. During the 3 days of the Passion Conference, I knew I'd found that in Savannah. I could tell she loves to worship God with all her heart. I love that in her. As soon as Passion ended, we drove back to my parents' house. I looked over at Savannah during the car ride home, and I had such a peace with God moment. She had a beauty about her that I can hardly put into words, and it had nothing to do with her appearance. God had done such an amazing work in her life over the past 6 months that I was just blown away by it. Looking at her, I saw her as pure and perfect, as if nothing had ever happened in her past. All I could see was the new creation God had made her into. It wasn't just what I saw during the car ride. Throughout Passion, she interacted with people with such freedom and joy. I mean, Jesus was just all over this girl. She talked about her past with such freedom to the girls who were right where she used to be. I could tell she had no shame because God had forgiven and redeemed everything. Seeing what God had done in Savannah's life was such a thrill for me. Her fire for God made me want more of him too. I could see how good and perfect and loving God truly is by seeing the love of my life transformed right before my eyes. The joy of that moment with Savannah lasted until we got to my parents' house. Then reality hit me. I was going to be leaving my mom and dad and brothers and sister. Savannah and I had come to the house for me to say goodbye before I moved more than 2,000 miles away. While I could not wait to be close to Savannah, I hated the thought of being so far away from my parents. I was so close to both my mom and dad. My dad and I are more like best friends, not just father and son. And my mom and I are super close, especially after traveling around the world and finishing second on the Amazing Race together. Racing together, I got to know my mom like I never had before. My mom and dad even joined me in a lot of my craziest Vine videos. I'm not exaggerating when I say they were just the best parents a guy could ever ask for. The Bible says the first step towards marriage is a man leaves his father and mother, Genesis 2:24. I'd always thought of that as leaving the house, not going to the end of the country. Yet, even though it made me sad to leave my parents, I knew moving to California was God's will for my life. Savannah was the one I wanted to marry. I had to go where she was since she couldn't move close to me. So I packed my bags and everything I wanted to move with me into the back of my dad's car. Then came the painful goodbyes to the rest of my family. My dad drove Savannah, Everly, and me to the Atlanta airport. He and I tried not to make the drive any sadder than it had to be. We talked about when we'd see each other again. At the airport, he helped us unload all the luggage before telling me goodbye. I did my best to hold in the tears. Sav, Ev, and I walked into the terminal. I turned around and looked back at my dad and thought about how much things were about to change and how much they had already changed. Even though I had no doubt that this was God's plan, walking away was very hard. I knew once I got on the plane, I was never going to live close to my family again. Somehow, I managed to hold it all together when I said goodbye to my family in Alabama and when I said goodbye to my dad at the airport. But once we got to the gate, the weight of what just happened hit me. I sat down and thought about all my parents had done for me, all they had sacrificed so that I could be who I am today. I pulled out my phone and started writing a long text thanking them for all that they had done. It was basically a love letter to my mom and dad. You are great parents, and even though I am leaving you, I'll always be your son, I wrote. The more I wrote, the more emotion came over me. I couldn't finish it. Tears started flowing until I broke down completely, sobbing. Savannah wrapped her arms around me, and Everly wasn't really sure what was going on. I sat there, crying like a baby. Finally, I pulled it together, put away my phone, and boarded our flight. I decided I'd finish the long text after we landed in California. The flight was great. All three of us were excited because we'd never flown together like this. We knew this was it. This was forever. The sad goodbyes at the airport and missing each other for weeks and talking on the phone and texting late into the night and the rides down the magical escalators were all done. This flight to California marked the beginning of our life together. By living in the guest room of Savannah's mother's house, I'd be with both Savannah and Everly every waking hour. At long last, we were going to be a family.
Chapter 19. Together at Last. I knew I wanted to spend the rest of my life with Cole. I never doubted that. However, long distance made our dating relationship so different that I knew our love was going to be put to the test after he moved to California. Between missing his family and adjusting to Southern California, and with the never-ending demands that come from being a full-time dad, I hoped it all wouldn't be too overwhelming for him. The fact that he moved away from his family to be close to me made me love him that much more. No one had ever made that kind of a sacrifice for me. Guys had told me they loved me, but I never had anyone show me what true love looks like the way Cole did.
From the first morning I woke in California, I loved knowing that I was going to be with Savannah all day until I went to bed again that night. As much as I missed my family, my dreams came true when I moved close to her. Dating long distance was the hardest thing I'd ever done. We both hated it. Yet, I knew part of us would miss it. For weeks at a time, all we had were texts and phone calls. For 5 months, we talked about everything on long phone calls that went late into the night. And I mean everything. We talked about God and love and dating and marriage and children and our dream days and our worst days and what we liked to eat and what we didn't like to eat and you name it. We talked about it. The two of us learned to communicate on every level. Dating long distance also amplified the love we had for each other. I think every couple needs to spend some time apart in the very beginning. It helps you value each other and treasure the time you have together. When we were apart, I missed Savannah so badly that it hurt. I mean, it literally hurt. I could feel it deep in my soul. But as awful as the pain of being apart felt, it made our time together that much more special. Neither one of us ever took a minute of our time together for granted. We treasured every second. We still do. I hope we always will. Some days, Savannah and I talk about those days. We cherish the memories. But we don't want to go back. As much as I loved finally being with Savannah and Everly every day, I had a lot of adjustments to make after moving to California. I'm just a normal kid from a small town in southern Alabama who grew up in a family where what you see is basically what you get. No one I grew up with is really into appearances, like with clothes. Even before I started dating Savannah, I never cared that much about what I wore to class. Most days I threw on a t-shirt and some shorts, put on a ball cap to cover my bedhead hair, and took off for class. I didn't care what people thought of how I looked. Then I moved to Southern California. Wow, I did not fit in. People really, really care about what they wear and how they look. I'm not saying that's true of everybody, but that's the culture out here. It's all about appearances, which is just not me. I also had to adjust to being around Everly's dad on a regular basis. I met Tommy for the first time pretty early on in my relationship with Savannah, probably somewhere around September or October. He came by to pick up Everly while I was there. When Sav told me he was coming over, I tried to prepare myself. I wanted to look cool and brave for Savannah, but I also wanted to just be myself and be nice. I didn't want a confrontation, and I certainly didn't want to come across like the two of us had some sort of battle going on for this girl. Savannah didn't need that. She'd already made her choice. I also wanted to respect Tommy's position as Everly's dad. I didn't really know what the dynamic was yet. If you remember, before I got to know Savannah, I assumed she was married. Once I discovered they were not, I still assumed Sav and Tommy were kind of close since they were both Everly's parents. With time, I learned they weren't. That first meeting with Tommy went about like I should have expected. We met him at a park or somewhere like that. I got out of the car and walked over to him, smiling, because that's just who I am. I'm this friendly, goofy guy who wants to make friends with everyone. Tommy didn't smile back. The guy is like twice my size, and to me, he projected an intimidating presence. Back when he and Savannah were dating, he'd make sure no guys ever even talked to her. I knew he probably didn't like the fact that I was dating Savannah, and he probably didn't like me. I get it. If I was in his position, I probably wouldn't like me either. In the first meeting, I walked over to Tommy and put my hand out to introduce myself. He just slapped my hand away and kept walking over towards Savannah and Everly. He didn't say a word, but I got the message. He wanted nothing to do with me. But that wasn't really going to be an option if I kept dating Savannah. And I didn't just plan on dating Savannah. Even back then, I knew I wanted to marry her. If Tommy had just been Savannah's ex, I might have been a little more assertive. But he wasn't just her ex. He is Everly's father. Whether Tommy and I liked it or not, our lives were always going to intersect because of Ev, for her sake. We had to get along. I don't have any control over how he acts or what he feels, but I do have control over my attitude and my actions. From the start, I made up my mind to do the best to get along with him and never to say anything negative about him for Everly's sake. Keeping the right attitude and getting along was easy from a distance. Once I moved into Savannah's mother's house with Sav and Ev, Tommy and I saw a lot more of each other. At first, I was nervous, but that was just really my fear of not knowing how he'd react to me being out there full time. When I lived in Alabama, I wasn't much of a threat. Now things were different. I prayed a lot for wisdom about how to deal with Tommy. I talked to other godly guys I knew who had stepped into similar situations. Rather than get all macho and try to make a big show about how Savannah was mine, I decided to do what the Bible teaches. Jesus told us to love our enemies. Tommy was not my enemy. But guys in our situation usually aren't what you'd call friends. Even so, God called me to love him. No guy in Tommy's position is going to want their ex's new boyfriend showing him any kind of love. But I knew what I had to do. Tommy is Everly's dad, and he loves her. The best way I could show him love was to love Everly like she was my own, not as his rival, and not to treat her like a misfit stepchild, as so many kids are treated by their stepparents, but to take care of her every day. I wanted to show him that he didn't have to worry. I take care of this little girl because I love her. And her mother. I feel so extremely blessed for the relationship I have with Everly and that she calls me daddy. She calls Tommy dad as well. We told her the truth. Yes, technically, I am her stepdad. But I would never tell her that she couldn't call me dad if that's what she wanted to call me. And there's nothing wrong with having two dads. She's just extra lucky is how she looks at it. Relationships between step-parents and their step-kids can turn out poorly because of the tension either between them or their biological parents. God's creation and plan for the family started with one man and one woman. Our family dynamic is obviously different than God's intent, but that doesn't mean this situation is too messy for him to fix. It just means we may have a more difficult road than others. I never wanted to take over Tommy's spot as dad, but simply to love wherever God calls me. It can be so easy to let Satan get in your head and become selfish, making family about you. This was the fight for me. I had to lay myself down and realize none of this was about me or Tommy and who was the dad. Whether Everly calls me dad or not shouldn't be important. All it should ever be about is Everly. My job is to show her how a man treats a woman, how a husband loves a wife, how a godly father loves and sacrifices for his children, and just how a godly person loves other people every day. I knew all the crazy stories from Tommy's past, as told to me by Savannah, every one of her friends, and her family. People loved bringing up these stories that I, honestly, couldn't believe were true. It angered me how terribly someone could or would treat any girl, much less my future wife. I also had to get used to the constant mockery I received from him when I first moved out there. Eventually, I had to let it all go. And, if I'm being honest, I truly do hope and pray that one day Tommy and I can become friends. And not just kind of friends, but real friends. I think that would be so awesome and show how truly amazing God is. Two guys who obviously should hate each other turn out to be great friends only because of the love of God. Our situation isn't the most fun for anyone, but I try to put myself in his shoes and feel for him. It's one of those things that will definitely take time and lots of God's intervention. But Savannah and I pray for the best between all of us moving forward.
Cole was bound to have a hard time adjusting to living in my mom's house after he'd lived on his own with friends for a couple of years. Don't get me wrong. My mom was totally for Cole moving into our house. Given how she prayed and prayed for me to get away from my past relationships and find a godly guy, she'd have been supportive of anything that kept Cole close. However, living with your mom as an adult isn't easy, and living in your girlfriend's mom's house with her can be really tricky. Living with my mom was completely normal for me. I'd always lived with her, even after my parents split up. When I went to college, I commuted to Saddleback Community College for my first 2 years. Later, when I transferred to Long Beach State and switched to a teaching major, I did all of my classes online from home. I might have moved out and gotten an apartment with some of my friends, except I got pregnant when I was 19. After Everly was born, I needed my mom close by. She helped me so much with Ev, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. I never could have made it without her. After I turned 21 and started making a little money from social media, my mom asked me to start paying rent. Up until then, she received child support for me from my dad. Along with the rent, I also started paying for my own phone, car, insurance, and all the other things you have to take care of as an adult. The rent wasn't much, but my attitude about it wasn't the greatest. I pretty much griped all the time about having to pay rent to my mother. That ended after I started dating Cole. My heart didn't get softer just toward God. It also became softer for my mom. Instead of being selfish, I looked at the situation through my mom's eyes. After Cole and I started making videos together, I was making more money than my mom. Instead of thinking my mom owed me something because, you know, she's my mom, I realized I needed to pay my own way and be independent. My mom didn't charge Cole rent. Instead, what he did was split the cost of my rent with me. It was a great arrangement, except for the fact that Cole had to adjust to living with a mom again. He had lived with three other guys in an apartment near his school. He was used to doing his own thing and being on his own. After he moved into our house, my mom kind of treated him like she did me. That is, like a kid. She'd tell him not to leave his dishes in the sink, but to put them in the dishwasher, and she left notes around the house telling him not to leave his clothes lying around. Basically, she was just being a mom. I was used to it because I'd always lived at home. Cole wasn't. When she got onto him for leaving his cereal bowl in the sink, he'd sort of give me a look like, "Really?" It's not that my mom was being terrible, but when you haven't lived with your mom for a while, you don't want to be treated like a child. Nearly from the start, he was ready to move out and get a place of his own. It wasn't that he didn't appreciate my mom's generosity in letting him move into our house. He did, but he was ready to get on with his life. I was too. Even before Cole moved in, I was ready to move out and get a place of my own. but that's hard to do for a single mom in Southern California because everything is so expensive. One of us moving out also wouldn't be good for us for another very big reason that you'll hear about in a later chapter. For now, I'll just leave it at this. Cole and I both knew that this arrangement was going to be temporary, and the shorter, the better. Eventually, we were going to get married and move out on our own. He hadn't asked me to marry him yet, but we talked about it all the time. At first, we talked about a long engagement. It didn't take us long to figure out that neither of us wanted that. We loved each other and wanted to get married. But first, he'd have to ask me.
Chapter 20. The Proposal. From the first time I held Savannah's hand, I started thinking about how I wanted to ask her to marry me. I always knew she was the one. The next 5 months only convinced me that much more. I now had the ring. I just had to figure out the perfect time and place to propose. And the sooner, the better.
I really thought Cole was going to pop the question during the Passion Conference in Atlanta. One of my friends came up to me during one of the breaks and told me that she heard that Cole talked to Louis Giglio, the main speaker and the founder of the Passion Movement. I wasn't sure why she told me that, unless Cole had talked to Louis about pulling me up on stage during the conference and proposing in front of 50,000 people. To me, the timing seemed perfect. Passion marked the end of our long-distance relationship and the beginning of our time together. What better way to start the new chapter in our lives than for him to propose? We'd fly home to California engaged, which would be perfect. The two of us had even talked about how cool that would be, so it wasn't like I was imagining things. I kept waiting for the big moment. But then the conference ended, and he hadn't proposed, and I was like, oh well, maybe later, surely later. I knew Cole would ask me to marry him soon after he moved to California. He had talked about it for months. Since we'd gone to the Bahamas, practically every time we went someplace nice, he'd start talking about proposing someday. He'd say, oh my gosh, what if I asked you here, right now? He'd even look over my shoulder and motion for people to come over, like my friends or family were there for the big event. I'd get excited, but then he'd laugh or say something like, no, not today. I'd laugh, like his joke didn't fool me, but it sort of did, every time.
I wanted my proposal to be something the two of us would remember for the rest of our lives. From what all my engaged and married friends had told me, Savannah and her mom would plan the actual wedding. They might ask my opinion, but for most couples, the guy's main responsibility for the wedding is to choose enough groomsmen to match the number of bridesmaids and to let his future wife plan the wedding exactly the way she wants it. But the proposal? That's different. This was my time to show her how much I loved her. Planning something really special takes a lot of time and preparation. I wanted to do it as soon as possible, but I also had to work around a very busy schedule. Everly was really into dance, and she still is, and the dance competition season was about to start. I had to find a day that didn't conflict with her dance practice and competition schedule. I also wanted both of our families and a lot of our friends to be there for the big day. I already planned on flying my family out. That meant working around my mom's and dad's work schedules and everything my family might have going on. I also needed to find the perfect place, someplace romantic, available at a time that worked with everyone's schedules and had facilities nearby for a big celebration dinner. And I had to plan all of this while keeping everything a secret from Savannah. Yeah, good luck to me. I ended up deciding I'd ask Savannah to marry me on Thursday, January 19th. The day didn't have any special meaning beyond being the one day that checked off all the boxes. Keep in mind that I moved to Cali on January 5th. That left me with 2 weeks to finalize all my plans. I found a great place to propose at the Monarch Beach Resort in Dana Point. The resort has a gazebo that overlooks the Pacific Ocean. Finding romantic spots is a lot easier when you live near an ocean. My family flew out on January 18th and checked into a hotel near a home in Huntington Beach. They planned to meet us at the resort the next day. Savannah had no idea. I also made arrangements well ahead of time with her family and all her friends to meet us at the resort. Now, I had to get Savannah there without giving everything away. I had a plan. A few weeks before the big day arrived, I arranged for one of the companies with which we do YouTube business to send us a very official-looking email asking us to vlog at the Monarch Beach Resort on January 19th. Because Monarch Beach is a really, really nice resort, doing a shoot there meant we had to dress up a bit. Savannah bought it, I think. I'm pretty sure she did. We did stuff like this all the time. Under normal circumstances, she might have become suspicious about going to such a nice place. It seemed like exactly the kind of place where I would propose. That's why I had tormented her with all those fake-out proposals. Since I acted like I was going to pop the question every time we went anywhere nice, she wouldn't think that this day was going to be any different. Selling the day to her as a business vlog also allowed me to add other little touches to make the day special without giving it away. We never do a vlog in only one location. I always add in other stops, as well as shooting video on the car ride over. A lot of times, we shoot video at places that doesn't ever make it into what you see when you click on our YouTube channel. All of that meant that Savannah had no reason to become suspicious when I took her to her favorite nail place to get her nails done, or when I brought her favorite coffee orders to her. And because this resort is a really nice place, it didn't look suspicious when we both dressed nicer than we do for a shoot in a place like Disneyland or a water park. Before we did any of that, however, I had one more detail I had to take care of. I sat down with Everly over lunch right before the big day, and I asked her if it was okay if I asked her mommy to marry me. Everly said sure. I told her that when I became her mommy's husband, then I would be her daddy. I did not mean that I wanted to take the place of her other dad. I made it clear that she would now have two dads. Savannah and I were always very clear, open, and honest that it is perfectly okay for a kid to have two dads. It's actually even better. I asked Ev if it was okay if I became her dad, and she said it was. She actually loved the idea of two dads. We then ate our sandwiches. Four-year-olds are pretty simple that way. I also had her spend the rest of the day with her Gigi, while Sav and I went and did the video shoot. If Everly had gone with us to the nail place or spent any time with us in the car, she would have blown everything. That's what four-year-olds do.
I was suspicious when Cole told me about the video shoot. We hardly ever did a video without Ev, and it was unusual to have one where we needed to dress up. Monarch Beach Resort is a nice place, and it seemed exactly like the kind of place Cole might pick to propose. Of course, I'd thought the same thing about 100 other places, and none of them turned out to be the place. This video was supposed to be a brand deal, which would explain everything. I decided to go along with it, but I also prepared myself, just in case. The morning of the video shoot, Cole took off for a little while. He said he was going to go to the gym. I didn't have any reason not to believe him, although when he came home, he didn't look like he'd been working out. Our video shoot wasn't until the afternoon. At one point during the day, I was doing something work-related on Cole's computer when an iMessage popped up from one of my friends asking, "Hey, what time do we all need to get there?" Cole walked in just as the message popped up, so I said, "Beware, for what?" The whole thing really seemed to catch Cole off guard. He said something about some event. I don't even remember exactly what he said, but I didn't really believe him. Something was up. I really became suspicious when we got into the car to go to the nail place. Cole didn't seem at all like himself. Normally he talks a lot and is really goofy. Today he hardly said anything, and he seemed really nervous. He looked like he had a lot more than a video shoot at a resort on his mind. I started to get really excited, but I'd had too many false alarms when I thought Cole was about to propose and he didn't. I thought he was up to something, but I didn't let myself really go there. However, once we got to the nail place, his phone started blowing up with text messages. I mean, even more than normal. That made me think, oh my gosh, it could be today. Then afterward, on the drive from the nail place to the resort, he tried to act like this was just another vlog, but he seemed really uptight. Really nervous. I had a pretty good idea what was making him so nervous, but I didn't want to say anything and spoil the surprise.
It's never cold in Southern California, and it hardly ever rains. On January 19th, the day, we woke up to cold, pouring rain. It reminded me of the big, heavy thunderstorms in Alabama. Savannah looked outside and said she'd never seen it rain this hard before. All I could think was, great. Of all the days for a storm. However, we had until 5 that evening for the sun to come out and warm everything up. I had high hopes. Right after I got up, I told Savannah I was going to the gym to work out. Instead, I went to my family's hotel and hung out with them for a while. I hadn't seen them since I moved, so I was really anxious to spend some time with them. Everyone was so excited for me. They asked if I was nervous. Yes. And how I felt about the rain. Why today? My dad could see how nervous I was. He pulled me aside and said, "Hey, this is what's supposed to happen. Everything is going to be great. Savannah's going to say yes when you ask her to marry you, and at the end of the day, you guys will be engaged. Who cares about the stupid rain? It will make for a great story someday." I love my dad's positive attitude. He really helped me calm down and stop worrying about things that were out of my control, like the weather. The rain finally stopped, but a cold wind blew. Not cold for places like Indiana, but for Southern California, it was really cold. Savannah wore a beautiful, long-sleeveless dress. Oh man, she looked so good in that dress. However, she didn't wear a jacket. After we pulled up to the resort and parked the car, she cuddled up close to me to try and stay warm as we walked along. The sidewalk was still wet and the sun was going down, which made it seem even colder. Proposing at sunset had seemed like a great idea before a cold front rolled in. But, hey, like my dad said, I couldn't do anything about the weather, and if this beautiful woman needed to snuggle up close to me to stay warm, I didn't mind. We hadn't walked very far when I told Savannah I needed to go to the restroom. A videographer met me in the restroom to put on my mic. Savannah and I then walked up the drive around the ocean side of the resort. I looked around and pointed things out as if I had never been there before. Then we came to an opening, and I stopped and said, "Hey, look at that. How pretty." I pointed toward the gazebo overlooking the ocean. I had wrapped it in string lights, like white Christmas tree lights. Savannah isn't a big fan of flowers, but she loves string lights. Right then, she knew. If she didn't, she did once we walked over closer, and she could see the red rose petals sprinkled across the floor of the gazebo. I tried to play dumb and kept saying things like, "What is that?" But she knew. I could see it on her face, and I didn't mind. She laughed and smiled and was so excited and happy, and so was I. This was a moment I'd been waiting for my whole life. Savannah was the most perfect woman on the planet, the woman God had made for me, and made me for her, and I was about to ask her to be my wife.
I can barely remember what happened next. I'm glad we have the whole thing on video, because I was so happy and excited that my mind could barely take it all in. When we walked under the gazebo with the light shining and the red rose petals under our feet, I grinned from ear to ear and kept saying, "Oh babe, I cannot believe you did this." Cole was like, "Did what?" I told him I knew what was happening, but he tried to play it cool. He took me by the hand and stood there for a moment, looking at me, and we both started laughing and smiling. All of a sudden, a guy with a guitar came out and started playing "Yours" by Russell Dickerson, our song. Two photographers and a videographer then appeared. Still, Cole didn't say a word. He just smiled at me. Finally, our families came out of hiding as the sun sank behind us. It was the most perfect moment I could have ever hoped for. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I'd ever meet anyone like Cole. I had prayed for a man who would love and respect me and love my daughter. Now Cole was down on one knee in front of Everly, asking her if it was okay if he became her daddy. He even gave her a ring to wear until she found a man who would love her the same way Cole loves me. Then Cole asked me to be his wife. He told me he'd wanted to marry me from the day he met me. He told me I was his best friend and the one with whom he wanted to spend the rest of his life. I felt the same. Of course I said yes. 1,000 times over, yes. Afterward, Cole and I got into my car to drive over to a celebration dinner with our family and friends. He reached over and took my hand, and it felt different. I looked down at the ring on my finger, and I almost wanted to cry. This seemed like a fairy tale come true. For 5 years, before I met Cole, if anyone asked about marriage, I was always like, "Nah, I don't want to get married." All that changed when I met him, and now I really was getting married. I looked over at Cole and thought, "I am going to be with you forever." I could hardly wrap my mind around it. I was so happy. I could not stop smiling from ear to ear. I'm getting married. I have a guy who is so in love with me and who loves my kid to death. My whole life was about to change. I wish we could have had the wedding right then. at that very moment. I didn't want to wait. I wanted to marry him now. Chapter 21. Wedding Planning. Even before Cole formally asked me to be his wife, I'd made up my mind not to go crazy with all the wedding planning. I knew some bridezillas. Girls I knew went overboard trying to make everything on the wedding day so perfect that they forgot what it was really all about. Honestly, I didn't really care that much about all the little wedding details. My mom did most of the planning. She'd ask me questions, and I'd give her my input. I asked Cole for his opinion, even though I knew he didn't care that much either. We set the date for July 9th, which meant we had only 5.5 months to plan everything. Given everything that has to happen, that wasn't much time. But I knew that even if we just had our families there and our pastor to perform the ceremony, we'd be just as married as if we took a year to plan the perfect storybook wedding. Rather than get caught up in all the wedding planning, I wanted to be all about the man I was going to spend the rest of my life with. I refused to allow the planning process to get in the way of our engagement. This was our time to get ready for the rest of our lives. Even before I met Cole, I had made up my mind that if I ever got married, it was going to last. Everyone probably thinks that when they first get married, or at least they should. But I had already lived through one divorce, and I was not going to go through that again. I sure wasn't going to put Everly and any future children through that. However, you can't just say you are going to have a marriage that lasts and then hope for the best. You have to work at it, and that work needs to begin long before the wedding day. One of the biggest adjustments for me was realizing Cole was not like any other guy I had ever dated. I already knew this, but I still had to remind myself that he was never going to hurt me or leave me. Coming off two relationships that ended when a guy cheated on me left me insecure. If you are insecure, you will push people away. God had to help me get through this. I also had to learn to trust Cole and let my heart be soft toward him. Again, guys had hurt me in the past, and I vowed never again. They might try to hurt me, but I will hurt them right back. There were a couple of times right after Cole moved out here that we got into some little arguments, and I immediately went into cutthroat mode, like I was dealing with my ex. With my ex, everything always escalated quickly. It wasn't all him. I can also be unbelievably stubborn, and I get super defensive when pushed. When I get in an argument, I'm going to win and prove that I am right, and I don't care if I have to get up in your face to do it. Cole and I never had any big arguments, but even in the rare occasions when we had a small disagreement, I found myself going at him like he was my ex. Instead of coming straight back at me, Cole became very emotional. I had to repeat over and over to myself, "Cole isn't Tommy." Instead of retreating into a hard heart at the slightest disagreement, I had to be intentional about letting my heart be soft toward Cole. Being vulnerable can be scary, but I knew Cole would never purposefully hurt me. He loves me. He wants what is best for me. The only time Cole and I ever really disagreed about anything was when he tried to talk to me about parenting. Parenting and discipline are tricky topics for any step-parent, and Cole was no exception. He left all Ev's discipline to me. We still talked about what was going on with her, but only in private where she couldn't hear. One day, Cole approached me after I threatened to punish Everly in the classic parental way. "If you do that again, you won't get to go outside and play with your friends today." Of course, she again did whatever it was I told her not to do, and when she asked if she could go outside and play with her friends, I let her. Cole came to me and told me that I needed to follow through with the rules I make, or Ev would never listen to me. Even though I knew he was right, I argued the point. He listened to me, and eventually I was able to listen to him. He was right. This episode not only helped us learn to communicate, it also helped me realize I no longer had to parent Everly alone. We were in this together.
I felt like Savannah and I really knew each other before I moved, but spending all day, every day with her really took our relationship to another level. Sure, we had a wedding to plan, but Savannah's mom really killed that. Savannah and I both just wanted something simple and outdoorsy with a barn. Beyond that, we didn't care. I really didn't do much. If Savannah asked for my opinion on anything wedding related, I'd say, "Sure, babe, whatever you want." I wasn't worried about the wedding. By the end of the day on July 9th, we'd be married and flying off to our honeymoon. I was more focused on preparing myself to be the best husband and dad that I could be. and I had less than 6 months to get ready. I'd been thinking about becoming a husband for a very long time, long before I ever met Savannah. My dad set a really great example for me to follow. And I wanted to be a dad myself someday, but until I met Savannah, I never expected it to be so soon, especially not at the age of 20. After Savannah and Everly came into my life, I loved the idea of being a day-to-day dad to Ev. But I didn't want to just bebop my way into it like a clueless guy, cross my fingers, and hope everything turned out all right. I wanted to prepare myself to be the best dad I could be, even at a young age. Right away, I decided to become involved in a church where we could get into community with other Christians. Savannah attended a church called Mariners Church in Irvine. I went there with her when I came out for visits. Now that I was living there, the two of us decided to get plugged in. We joined a small group with other engaged or newly married couples. Of course, we wanted to deepen our relationship with Christ. And faith grows best when you get connected to a small group of people with the same goal. But this group also made perfect sense for us because everyone in it was in the same place in life. Sav and I listened and tried to learn from other couples and their experiences. I've never thought I had everything all figured out. I learned a ton from the friends we made in our group. Once we got plugged into church, I started meeting other guys and building some really good friendships. Because of Everly, most of my new friends were dads whose kids were friends with Ev. Nearly all of these guys were in their 30s. No one was as young as me, which didn't bother me at all. These were great guys and great dads. I paid a lot of attention to how they interacted with their kids. Fatherhood was completely new to me, and I had a lot to learn. 6 months earlier, I had been a college student with zero responsibilities beyond my class schedule. Now I had a young girl looking to me as her day-to-day father figure, and in 5 months, I'd officially be her stepdad. I needed someone to show me the way. Two guys especially, Jeff and Andrew, taught me so much. When I moved into Savannah's mom's house, Ev was barely 4 years old. If you've never lived with a 3 or 4 year old, let me tell you, they can definitely test your patience. On top of that, I was trying to adjust to life on the other side of the country while working full time to grow a social media business. There were times Ev really tested me. Jeff and Andrew had kids around the same age who tested them as well, and they showed me how to handle situations with patience. They amazed me. I've been in each of their houses when their kids were yelling, and I felt on edge. I'd look over at them, and they'd be completely calm. That's how I wanted to be. I never wanted to be one of those dads that yell and curse and make everyone nervous. I know patience doesn't just happen. I prayed a lot. Opening my life up to Jesus and asking him to give me peace and patience in every situation.
Connecting with our church helped us connect with each other. We didn't stop there. During the almost 6 months of our engagement, Cole and I got to know each other on a deeper level. Part of that came through reading the Bible and praying together. Before I met Cole, I had read the Bible a little bit, but I never really got that into it until he gave me the special Bible he'd marked up for me after Motion, which helped me dive into it even more. In the weeks leading up to our wedding, I got super into reading scripture. That's not something we put in our videos. You won't find Cole and Sav read the Bible today on our YouTube channel. But that doesn't mean this wasn't important to us. I'd say reading the Bible together and praying together were two of the most important things we did to prepare ourselves for marriage. Even though we both loved Jesus and loved to worship openly in church, I found that you connect on a much deeper, spiritual level when you walk with Jesus with your spouse, or in my case, my future spouse. When problems came up or when we needed to make a decision, we prayed together about it. Praying together helped move us away from focusing on what Cole or I wanted. Instead, we began to ask, "What do you want, God?" We really did this when we started looking for a place of our own. As much as I love my mom, there was no question that Cole, Ev, and I would move out as soon as we got married. So we prayed about what to look for. Should we have a little house or a big one? Apartment or condo? What neighborhood would our kids grow up in? We had no idea. Cole and I prayed a lot about it and discussed what we thought we should look for in a house. They say buying a house is the biggest investment you will ever make, so we didn't want to blow this. Even though we didn't know what we were looking for, we knew we'd figure it out together. Let me tell you, if you really want to get to know someone, start looking for a house together. The whole process can be super stressful, But for us, we clicked on all the choices and decisions. When we looked at a place that I didn't like, Cole said he didn't like it, even before I could. It was like we were the same person. If he thought